It's always tough, I think, to do the class because I have a thousand things I'd want to talk about, and I want to have a conversation about them too. And for some reason, I know I've said this, but I keep thinking I've already done this. I just did this a little bit ago, but I probably did it at the Waco congregation or somewhere else. So hopefully I didn't. I know I repeat myself with this all the time, but just a couple things before we begin too. And obviously with the storms and everything that have hit our nation recently, and obviously if you've been paying attention to the news, we have another one about to hit Florida. Many of us, myself included, have family that live in Florida. Luckily, my parents are in Arizona right now, and they're out of the state, but we all know many people who are. So let's make sure in all of our prayers, our personal prayers as well, that we're keeping the members of the church in our prayer, family, friends, and everyone who are going to be affected by it. They're saying it's one of the largest storms. I think it was over 400 miles in diameter in the hit the Caribbean right now. So let's all keep everyone in our prayers during this time. We obviously know what has still been going on in Texas. I know I have coworkers that are there even still right now and should be on their way home after a deployment. And now they're asking even for us. I'm actually hoping to be included to go down to Florida as well. So let's keep all those who are affected by this right now in our prayers. And one of the things that I did want to discuss tonight is God, not so much in general, but his knowledge and everything he knows. One of the things that, and I'll often joke about, is we all know somebody who knows everything, don't we? No matter what it is, if you go to talk to this person, they know it all. Or they know somebody who does. And we have to be careful with knowledge. I got an article actually from another brother here, and it talks about that we have to be careful because confusion can be deadly. A news article this reads, entitled, "Was that Xanax or Zantac?" said, "Reports are rising of injuries and deaths due to mix-up of sound-alike prescription drugs. American pharmacies may issue reports 60 sets of drugs with similar names. Confusion caused by drug names that slip by industry safeguards is compounded by physicians who pin illegible or incomplete prescriptions and by sloppy pharmacists." And then it talks about a recent issue of the New England Journal of Medicine told of two pharmacists who dispensed the pain reliever Norflex instead of the antibiotic Norflaxin. One patient became dizzy, the other hallucinated. And then it says patients can protect themselves by asking doctors to write the reason a medication is being used on their prescriptions. Then it's up to you to check the label before leaving the pharmacy. Now, a couple things came to mind when I was reading this were, obviously, it talks about your doctor's illegible writing. And if we've all seen it, you go to get a prescription, your doctor signs it, right? What is it? It's a line through there. Sometimes you can't even read the prescription. Now, luckily, I know all of them pretty much now, they will send it electronically to the pharmacy. So it cuts down on the errors that can happen with that. And sometimes it's simple because it uses in here kind of some simple prescription drugs, and just a little misspelling of it can cause a lot of damage. We had a training a couple weeks ago, and our physician who comes in and trains us, he said a gentleman, I couldn't get it right because I had it, and it was one I hadn't heard of, and he wasn't too familiar with it. It was a cardiac medication, and the person actually took the wrong dose of it. Well, the doctor told him it can be fatal if you do that. So he goes to the hospital, and he's kind of yelling. He said, "This is what I took." They're not really sure. They actually have to look it up. And they're giving him the activated charcoal to swallow. He said, "I've never had a patient actually grab it out of my hand and drink this thing right down. Normally people are afraid to take it if you've ever had to do that to induce vomiting." And long story, he called his physician, looked it up, and yeah, I had a real chance of dying because of a mix of, now this was his own fault, of medication. Augusta one time, it was a Thanksgiving, and the pharmacy gave her the wrong medication. I couldn't even tell you what it was for, but they gave her an antipsychotic drug. I just remember she was very, very happy making the turkey, but her eyes, her pupils were really, really big. And then she started crying and everything. And then it was just something was wrong. Well, I looked at the medication she had, and it was clearly the wrong medication. Right? So somewhere in there, now we found out it wasn't the doctor's fault. This was a pharmacy fault. Someone misread, did something. There was something that was wrong, not according to what was actually prescribed in this case, right? Now, luckily, it wasn't one of these cardiac drugs, but that can happen where it can have deadly or serious or deadly consequences. And this is what separates us from God as humans, is that knowledge that God has. And some, now we might be confused of, well, how, what does this have to do with, what does medication have to do with that? Well, the thing is that God is never confused. He doesn't have any mix-ups. We do. And how often have we done it? You know, maybe you've put the wrong item in a recipe. Maybe when you're making something, you just did something wrong. There are so many different things we can do. And a lot of times we'll use the term omniscience, or God is omniscient. What does this omniscience mean? What is that? All-knowing, absolutely. God knows all. Do we know it all? Do we know all and everything? No, absolutely not. And what would happen if we did? Right. Exactly. We would, and sometimes I think we try to do that. And the other term, and I was thinking not too long ago, is aren't we sometimes we're too smart for our own good? And we know those people are so smart. And unfortunately, you know, I kind of laugh about it, but I think of brethren right now who were too smart for their own good. They thought they knew more than God, and they went above and beyond. And unfortunately, all of them that I can think of that I've personally dealt with are no longer even attending worship. And I know of one who is atheist now because of his knowledge. He was so much more smarter than God. But God, a lot of times we put this term omniscience with, or God is omniscient, that he is all-knowing. So I want to look at this term of omniscience, having that knowledge, that complete knowledge, and what that is and what it means, and kind of discuss it a little bit. Now, you know, another thing when we talk about knowledge, I can't memorize that much. I have trouble memorizing things. My own phone number, people will ask me sometimes. I don't know. I'll have her call me or tell me. Not that she knows everything. She has it probably written down somewhere. But I can't remember, and I have trouble a lot of times memorizing things. Well, I had a professor one time. He said, it's not about you knowing it all, but it's about you know how to find it. You know where to find it. You know, one example, too, and I had a sister one time tell me, well, I'm not as smart as you, and I had to thank her, first of all, after that. No, but I can't talk to people like that. I can't do, you know, speak the word to someone like you can. And the one thing we talked a few things, but you just have to know what to look for, where to look, and to actually open and look. Actually, this discussion came after a discussion of just reading our Bibles. And it's just the pure fact of opening and doing something about it. Right? It's easy for us to say, I don't know. It's easy for us just to do, but we have to look and search for that knowledge. But again, the point tonight, and I don't want to go too far off track, is the fact that God knows more than we do, but unfortunately, the world thinks they know more. So what is this term omniscience? We talked about all-knowing, and it's a concept, obviously, that it applies to God, but it can be defined as complete knowledge of or knowing of all things. Look with me in Psalm chapter 139. Psalm 139, in the first six verses here, the psalmist says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And again, he talks, you know, kind of as the verses would follow in here, if we would continue reading in here, the power of God, the omnipotence, God's presence, omnipresence that he has. And these qualities, again, talk about the knowledge that God has. And when we think of the words that the psalmist says here, right, and this is kind of, to me, again, I like to look at things as a personal examination. Do we say the same things as the psalmist says? Do we look at these words and think, these are my thoughts? These are the same things that I think when I think about God. And when you think about it, we're going to get to some of these points in a little bit later here as well. But we see all these things. You've searched me, you know me, he says in the first verse. You know when I sit, you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Now think of how many people there are in this world. And I didn't look it up. I couldn't tell you the exact number. Billions, right? And that God is so powerful. He's so present, as we talked about, and has so much knowledge that he knows all of our thoughts. There's no one in here that we're hiding our thoughts from God. I'm not going to jump ahead, but one of the points I have in here too is the fact that, and it'll be just a minute, we'll get to it, but that we're not going to be able to hide from God. And that includes our thoughts. That includes everything we have. But the fact that God knows us is something that people cannot know. Man cannot know. Every single person. So as smart as our friends, our neighbors, our family members, whoever it may be, they're not as smart as God. In the Old Testament, we have many examples here of God's knowledge. And prophets often spoke of God's power, God's knowledge, and the superiority of it in order to distinguish him from the idols that were in Israel that were surrounding them. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 13 and 14, who has directed the spirits of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With him, whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? One of the things I was thinking about with this verse is, again, I have a lot of examples I can think of with this, but if you've ever been in a class with a teacher, I'm not talking about tonight, raise your hand, say as much as you want. Have you ever been in a class and someone is almost, it feels like they're teaching the teacher, they're telling them what the subject matter is. And like I say, that doesn't apply tonight, but think of chemistry, right? If you've taken a chemistry class, science class, whatever it may be, you know, and I didn't go into a chemistry class knowing chemistry, but you'll have sometimes someone will raise their hand, well, you can do this. We have someone not too long ago I know of, and they were trying to be, you know, they were being taught something. Well, then instead of learning it, they tried to kind of teach the teacher and tell them. But that's not the same with God. We can't tell God how it is. What are some examples even today of how we tell God, how we teach God? And I'm in quotations, teach God. What are some ways we do that today, that man does that today? Change the Bible? Right, and how do we change it? Right. Go ahead. Suit ourselves, yeah. We'll change it to suit ourselves. And too often, and that's exactly what happens. I just think of so many examples of that happening. Jehovah's Witnesses pop in my mind as one of the first. Because I challenged one time at my door, and you've probably heard me say this. He was 16. He was in his label, his tag on his jacket said elder. So I actually grabbed my Bible, started talking about the qualifications of an elder. And his words were, I know the Bible says this, but... As soon as he puts that word but in there, nothing else matters at that point. Because he even said, I know the Bible says this, but. Unfortunately, our conversation didn't last much further than that because I started talking about some things when there, and he was told this, he was told that. And I said, well, who told you these things? Well, our elders. Okay. The problem is unless we open up our Bibles, unless we understand what God has to say about the subject, we're going to get into trouble, right? We're going to fall. What are some other ways? Matt, go ahead. Right. Right, yeah, good, Matt. Right, now if you know, heard Brother Taylor and Brother Bennett, but they talked about we're trying to change basically who God made us as. We're changing that way, that transgendered. Well, I was born a Bruce Jenner, you know, one example here. I'm calling him Bruce Jenner because that's who he is. I'm probably getting in trouble for it somehow. But, you know, and then I can't, when you read of the children who are doing this, the schools are saying, well, no, you have to use, say, the boys' restroom. Well, a four-year-old, first of all, cannot decide what they want for dinner, let alone, right, what they're going to, anything else they're going to do, and I was going to say, let alone their gender. Well, he wants to be a girl. She wants to be a boy. And I got into a lengthy conversation with many people about this before. And what I said was, well, okay, if you want to argue this, actually this came up again because they gave us papers and we had to put our race and sex on this paper, turn it in. If you don't, it's voluntary. If you don't turn it in, they're going to, how it was worded was just a little goofy, but we're going to visually determine. We're going to take some time to visually determine. So I will tell you, at a fire department, when you do that, guys are just going to, you know, kind of run with that then at that point. One guy said, well, I'm going to go ahead and be a unicorn. He was going to write that down. That's what he said. He said, well, and he actually made a good point. Where am I going with this? He said, again, he said the same thing. He goes, if I can go ahead and just choose what my sex is, why can't I choose to be a unicorn? Right? Well, here's a better one. Why can't I choose to be 20? I'm 20. Now, it does sound silly, doesn't it? I'm not trying to make us laugh, but it is. And isn't that easier than changing my sex? Well, I don't like, and exactly, I think, Matt, you said a mistake, right? We're saying God made a mistake. And that's exactly what we're saying. We're saying we know better than God that God made a mistake. And there's so many other things that we can think with that, but this is a very hot topic right now. Because again, now what are we arguing about? What are we arguing about as a society? We're arguing about bathrooms. We're arguing about which bathroom we use. If you're a male, use the men's restroom. If you're a female, use the female restroom. But again, when I say, well, let's bring up our age, let me, what was the other thing? Oh, I'll change my race. I'll change my age. Whatever it may be, as silly as those things may sound, it's just the same to say, well, I'm changing my gender in this. I identify as a male or I identify as a female or vice versa, whichever we are. And absolutely, and you're both right, because that's exactly a way that we're saying that God is wrong, that God doesn't have the knowledge. God doesn't have the way. Brother Mellinger. Okay.
He has secret knowledge or secret powers that can interpret what that meant. That's what he's implying. Luke wouldn't admit that. But if he's able to tell, well, the writer who was inspired, no, he won't agree with that.
Sure.
Put these words down in the statement, and you say, well, yeah, I know what that means, but that's not what he meant.
Well, absolutely. And we can actually, someone can take that and just keep going with that. It doesn't matter what is written. It doesn't matter what is said. And that's exactly what they're saying. I don't care. They're saying, I don't care what he's written. I don't care what he's, or excuse me, had inspired to write. I don't care what he says and what he thinks. I just want to do it my way. And that's exactly what's going on. It's like, well, here's an example. When I would come home late, my mom told me a time to be home, and if I would come home half an hour late, it didn't work when I told her, well, that's not what you meant. You didn't mean 10 o'clock. You meant somewhere after 10 o'clock, right? Would that work? And again, That's another example I love using, and they're easy. Because no, that doesn't work. Those things don't work. And we know they don't work. Just like I said before, and I think I said it here before, if I show up for work late, I can't go in half an hour late and think that that's okay and keep doing that because I know there's a consequence to it, right? That's an easy thing. Raise your hand if you're okay and you go into work late, half an hour to an hour every week. Raise your hand if you do that. Because you can't raise your hand because you probably don't have a job anymore, unfortunately, if that's the case, right? But it's okay when we do it with God, unfortunately. It's okay when we say, well, we don't have to follow those rules. We just have to follow some of them. And again, I always use the fact that I'm given a manual at work. I have rules I have to follow. I can't just follow this section and this section. There's 20-something sections we have. I can't pick and choose which one. Because you know what? When I miss one of those things, when I don't follow one of them, you know what the punishment is? It's the exact same that if I don't follow any other one of them. Autumn, you had your hand up, sorry. Yeah. Exactly. We can use whatever we want because we're not using the Bible as our guide. We're not using God as our guide. And, you know, all of us probably have the same fear, but I remember when, you know, I easily remember when I was a kid, was a child, and all the things that were going on. And it doesn't seem as bad as what it does now. And you're absolutely right because what's next? What's tomorrow? What comes afterwards? Are we following God's word more today, or are we following it less? You know, one of the things I brought up to someone not too long ago was, you know, just any auditorium you go to of a Church of Christ, do you think the numbers are higher or lower? Well, they're lower. Any of them I've gone to, at least that I've visited in the past and have visited recently, the numbers are much smaller. And why is that? What's that? People aren't believing. Or, I would say they're believing, but what are they believing? In Autumn. Yeah, whatever you want to. Exactly. That's what she alluded to. Anything we want to, because we'll make it right. We'll make it the right thing to follow. We'll make it the right way to go. And again, we don't want to listen to God. We don't want to hear what he has to say. And again, Isaiah, I'll continue a little bit with Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. I like Psalm 147 in verses 4 and 5. It says, he counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Again, here's a good example. Look up at the night sky. Fortunately for us, well, it might be cloudy now, but for the most part, you can look up in the sky and see all the stars. And again, when we were younger, there were 9 planets, then 8. I think it might be back to 9 in our solar system. But now they found hundreds of them. You know, we send satellites out, and they're still going and keep going. What does that tell us? What should it tell us?
We aren't as smart as we think we are.
Not even close, right? Yeah. No, it's because, you know, when any of us were children, this is what we know. This is what we could see. And now we have the technology. Again, is it because just we did it? No, it's because the knowledge that God had allowed us to have. That because of God, now we can search the stars and we see them. And it's a lot more than what we thought. hundreds of plants, right? Remember when you thought there were nine? I'm going to just stick with nine in our solar system. But now they just find hundreds of them, and they're constantly finding them. But we still think we're smarter. We still think we know better. Are we ever going to find the quote-unquote ends of the universe? Anybody else? Correct. Just like God's power says, it's unsearchable here. His understanding. His understanding is unsearchable. And then in Psalm 147, verses 4 and 5, when he says he counts the stars, calls them by name, at the end of that he says his understanding is infinite. None of us can say it. One of the things, too, and I had a note in here somewhere, but it talks about let me make sure I find it so I don't misquote it while we're in here. I'm sure we'll get to it at a point. I'm sure it's in here somewhere. But we use roughly 10 to 17% of our brain capacity, what the human uses. Imagine if we could use so much more. And it's scary. I think it's scary just being out there in the world with the amount of common sense. Maybe that's the best way to put it, that even people use. It's terrifying out there, right? And we don't even use our full potential. One of the things I was actually talking about a little while ago was potential and what we're doing, how we're using it. Are we using our potential are we using our full potential to everything we can do? Most of the time, you know that we don't. Unfortunately, we don't. Because if you think about it, I was reading a book. I was talking again with some people about this. But have you ever gone through a day and you realize I haven't gotten anything done. I only got like part of what I wanted to get done. Don't raise your hand, but we could all probably raise our hand with this, right? I didn't get anything done that I wanted to get done. But you know how you can better that? You can get those things done. I can tell you just to do them. Then you'll get them done. But write them down. Make a list. They talk about if you write things down on a list, you will get them done. Do we do that? Do we make a list of things we need to get done? And if we don't, we should be. And then I would say, well, what are we putting on that list? And where do we put God on that list? One of the easiest things that I can say we can think about is how often have we tried to increase our knowledge this week? Well, how did you try to increase your knowledge? Did you watch as much television as you could watch? I found, and it's a very good thing, but I don't watch television nearly as much as what I used to. I try to read. I try to gain knowledge. But as a Christian, what should we do to gain knowledge? Study. Yeah, what do we study? The Scriptures, the Bible, absolutely. Have we studied our Bibles enough this past week alone? How many times have we opened it since we met last on Sunday evening? How many Scriptures have you read in that time? Now, you know, and it's easy to say, well, I haven't had time. I don't have enough time to do it. Do any of us, quote unquote, have time? Well, I'd say yes and no. We have to make time. Paul, did you? Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the things that Frank can say when you watch TV, they say worship the church of your choice.
Right.
To me, that's just idiotic. But, that basically means that there's all kinds of different churches out there. Choose one that you want to go to. But if you talk to people, there's all kinds of different reasons why they go to certain churches. It makes it feel good.
Right. Yeah, choose whichever one makes you comfortable, which one makes you feel better. And why do we do that? Well, because first, we don't want no one wants to be told that they're wrong. No one wants to be told that you're doing it wrong, because we're all perfect. We all do it right every time. Sarcasm. We don't. Brother Dale.
Yeah, Jerry, so we talked about what's going on in the world. We know how the world lives and the scriptures teach us. You know, we can't rely on the world. But we need to bring it closer home. We need to bring it in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking after the listening to you and others. Over the years, I've known men, and still know some of them have passed on, who would teach the truth. You couldn't get them to not teach the truth. Some of those same men now will defend issues that you can't prove with the scriptures. It's a lot of it is a lack of study, but I know men who could quote a lot of the Bible who teach false doctrines. I'm talking about gospel preachers.
Absolutely.
And it's always been that way, and it's going to continue to be that way, but the sins as though it's worse. And I'm not talking about just gospel preachers. I'm talking about brethren. We're forever thinking about even who can we bring in here to preach? For fear they're going to teach something contrary, we'll have to go in the pulpit and correct it. That's where it's at today. And it's up to us as individuals to know, first of all, what the scriptures teach, and to have enough faith to stick by what the scriptures teach. It's not, I know it says that, but,
yeah.
You know, we talk about the marriage, divorce, and remarriage thing. We have brethren, and we know them, who teach multiple reasons for divorce, and try to prove that. Of course they can't, because there's only one. God just preached on that just recently. But as individuals, if we don't know what the scriptures teach, and that's not enough to know what it teaches. If we don't make application of it, I worry. Where's Brown Street going to be in 20 years from now? We're going to be in 10 years from now. It all gets back to what Don and I were talking about, the churches in Asia and Europe. Where are they today? They're gone. The church is built on it. I've always said for years, if I could pick out a church to be a member of back then, it would have been the church of built on it.
Right.
But there is no church. Don didn't know of one either. Any of those. Are there churches even there? What happened?
Right.
A lot of it's a lack of knowledge, but it wasn't all a lack of knowledge. Part of it was because this is the way I want it to be, and I'm not gonna change. And so, common sense—you used that word a few minutes ago. The Scripture is a book of common sense. God didn't write it so we would be confused and not be able to understand what He was saying to us. We can understand. We don't apply it because we don't want to apply it. That's the truth of the matter.
I think sometimes we're afraid to apply it.
I'm sorry?
Where I think we're afraid to apply it.
Yeah.
Some people are.
So, it's a warning to all of us.
Right.
You know, here at Brown Street, I'm talking about prayer right here at Brown Street. You know, we can have our opinions about some things, and Romans 14 allows that about certain things. But if we don't make application of the Scripture, we're no better than the world. We're going to go to hell just like everybody else is. And that's the truth of the matter. And I think we sometimes forget that. I'm sorry to take up this much time.
No.
It concerns us, you know, and it should.
And I can't think, what's the verse that tells us we're destroyed for lack of knowledge? And that's the problem, is we don't want to take the time. Or we'll take the time to learn it, and again, as many of you have said tonight, we don't want to apply it. And we don't want to do it. And I said just a minute ago that oftentimes I think people are afraid to apply it.
You remember the Apostle Paul was accused of too much learning.
Correct.
Made thee mad.
Yes.
You know, well, of course, too much learning didn't make him mad.
It made everyone, I think, around him that didn't want to follow the truth That's who it makes mad. And one of the problems that goes with it, and that was the first bell, is the fact that, again, we don't want to apply the knowledge that's there because we don't like what's being said, what's being heard. I fear for my kids. I fear for everyone else's, all the kids that are here, because the world's a tough place. And we have to be strong. You can't let your guard down. You can't just think, well, again, I'm going to just glide through and I'll know what I know, and I don't want to say. And I'm going to try to get to a couple things before the next bell rings, but there's a negative connotation, I think, a lot of times with the church. I think oftentimes people think, well, all they do is tell me things I can't do. Because, and again, why? What's the reason behind that? And the one of the things I often talk about, and I see some of the young people out here, I'm not trying to pick on you just because you're sitting there, it's going to be tough at times. A lot of times, sometimes you're going to feel alone, but don't let that get to you. Stand up to that. You know, and that's one of the things that we have to stand together as the church and not let the world encroach upon us and tell us how we're going to do it. Because that's the same thing right there. When we let that knowledge go by, well, I don't like it. And again, I keep saying it, that we're not okay with it on so many other things. Right? We're not okay with it. I used the example before of your doctor. If your doctor, well, we're just going to do half the procedure and see how it goes. We're just going to follow part of it, right? We're not okay with that. But why are we okay when it comes to the Bible? Why are we okay when it comes to homosexuality? Why is the world okay with that? Do you know, you know why the world's okay with it? You can't prove it. You know, my thing is just, I mean, in general, I think the world loves sin, but, you know, people have friends that are that way. They don't want to hurt their feelings. They don't want to let them know, that they're wrong, that they're doing the wrong thing. So, you know how we stop that argument? And Autumn, I think you kind of alluded to this too, when we just follow our own way. We just say, well, what do we say? How does the world justify homosexuality today? You're not hurting me. What else? Your choice, their choice, but they're born with it, right? People say you're born with it. Yeah, it's genetic. Well, again, now if you say someone is born a pedophile, if you say someone is born a murderer, they're just born that way, you know what they say at that point? Well, that's different. Yeah, that's different. That's different. Right. So let's say, well, that's different, and that's the only excuse, Mac. Yeah, it's got to be real. Yeah. Yes. Yep. Right. Yes. I'm 100% with you. I agree most people do. Yeah, and you ever read the comments on like Yahoo or something with a news article and talks about this? You would think that the world is for this, and I don't have time to fully go with what Matt was talking about, but a lot of people actually disagree, and you're right. I think if we stand up more, if we talk more, and we do it, the problem is, and I don't have time to explain this, but too often we just say, someone else is going to handle it. Someone else is going to do it. Look around you. Look at our numbers. See how many people have handled it so far. So thank you.